Hey, God bless you, everybody. Merry Christmas. Great to be together. What better way to celebrate the gift of God than for people to receive that gift from God? And you know, just last weekend, there was a Cantonese speaking outreach. 10 people put their trust in Jesus for the first time there. Then we had the big Christmas presentation and gave people an opportunity, and another 28 people put their trust in Jesus for the first time over that. How awesome is that? And then after the service today, after, you know, we're all going to chase off for Christmas lunch, 11 people are going to witness to their faith by being baptized at the end of our service today. So just awesome what God's doing, touching hearts and lives. It was an angel who said to shepherds out in the field, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." I don't know if your mind works like my mind works, but if I'm part of the organizing committee for the coming of Jesus, I'm going big. I'm going big. I'm up there, like I'm on the council, and we're like, okay, this is the planning group. It's like, well, let's just wait, like, until there's technology sufficient for global announcement. Let's give some like prophetic words to Meghan and Harry and Oprah and Kim Kardashian, and you know, they can do like little twit things out there, and they can kind of get the word going, and then we'll go like New York, London, or Paris. Like, let's go big. Let's go. Let's tear the skies open. And let's declare from the heavenly realm. Let's do a sermon to billions of people that Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world, has come. And then God said, no, I was actually targeting Israel. I'm like, of course, Israel. What am I thinking? Of course, Israel. We're talking Jerusalem. We're talking the palace. We're talking, you know, we can go big in Jerusalem. He said, well, I actually wasn't thinking Jerusalem. So I was thinking Bethlehem. I'm like, Bethlehem, country town. Yeah, of course. Bethlehem. Like, is there any 5-star accommodation in Bethlehem? No. In fact, there's not even going to be any room. There's not going to be any accommodation for the coming of the great King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world. We're going stable. We're going animal trough. And we're not, are we not even going to do like a choir? He's like, no, we will. We will do a choir. Yes, we're doing the choir. Yes, global choir exposure. No. It's okay. Israel choir? No. Bethlehem choir? No. Just the angelic choir for a few shepherds out in the fields. They get the choir. I'm like, we're not really going very big, are we? Like, why aren't we going big? And you know what? Here's the question that it poses in my heart. What does it say about God that this is the way that he does it? What does it say to you about God? Like, honestly, if you're on the organizing committee, you'd do a better job than an animal stable and a trough, wouldn't you? Come on, if you're organizing it, wouldn't you do a better job than that? No one's prepared to say, I can do a better job than God. And I'm not suggesting that either, but it does say something to us about God, doesn't it? God was revealing himself in Jesus. It tells us that in the Bible, John chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, no one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. And that word revealed is like literally pulling the curtains open and going, da-da! Here's the big revelation of God. And ultimately, it's in the form of a baby. the Christ child, born of a virgin. Oh my goodness, how many layers of complication does God want to put on this thing? She's betrothed. She's a virgin. We're going to throw a census. We've got an oppressed people. We've got Roman military powers. We've got kind of an... We've got this evil despot, Herod, who when he even gets word of the fact that maybe a Jewish king has been born, slaughters all the little baby boys in the region who are under the age of two. Like, how complex do we want this deal to be? The coming of God to humanity. And part, of, therefore, of what I take note of is the incredible humility of God. The incredible humility of God. Like if he wanted to go big, oh, he knows how to go big. God can do big. If you could count all those stars out there at a billion a second, it would take you 3 million years to count the number of stars. Those candles burning out there, it would take you 3 million years counting at a billion a second. Hundreds of millions of light years away, galaxies beyond galaxy, virtually beyond number. Oh, God can do big. And when we think about God and Christmas time, like for lots of people, when they think God, they can think big, big, powerful. They can think holy. He's altogether other. He's out there. But Christmas, as God comes and he comes in the flesh, he doesn't just like appear like, you know, the angel of the Lord. He comes in the form of a baby. The God-man, the Christ child, born of a virgin to a poor young couple who when they went and did the offering at the temple when he was 8 days old, they could only bring the offering that a poor couple could bring. Like a little dove or a pigeon. They couldn't afford a lamb. Obviously, just before the wise men brought the gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I'm sure Joseph went, thank you very much on the gold. Appreciate the gold. This humility of God, look at these words from Philippians chapter 2 where it speaks about the Lord Jesus and his coming. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to or to be taken advantage of. Instead, say it with me, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, there it is again, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death, even on a cross. You know, it's said prophetically about Jesus speaks about this in Zechariah, when he'd ride into Jerusalem, behold, your king comes humbly and on a donkey's colt. Or when Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Anyone this Christmas? This is the invitation from Jesus. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble of heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. The humility of God. And I think it's something we oftentimes reflect on. But when God said, I'm going to reveal myself, I'm coming. And the way he reveals himself is with incredible humility. He joins us there. It's not much fun, our most humbling moments. Maybe think about one of your more humbling moments. We sometimes associate a humbling moment with a failure. But the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Choose it, a humility of heart which lifts others up around you, sees others with great dignity. God puts value in humanity. He comes humbly. And so as lonely as we may feel, I didn't write this, I found this, as lonely as we may feel in our most humbling moments, we are not there alone. You have a humble God who's revealed himself in the person of Jesus. And as we choose humility, we hear God as the wind behind our backs rather than the opposition in our face, because he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's just the way he reveals it. You know what else it says about God, this great coming? He came to save us. This is part of the statement that was made. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, For he will do what? Say it with me. He will save his people from their sins. Pastor Mark referred to this before. I took my dogs for a walk yesterday morning. I was getting up my 10,000 steps yesterday. And I walked them all the way down to this. We've got this huge kind of leash-free area. It's like a multiple soccer pitch area. So people tend to walk around the outside with their dogs, just getting up their kilometres. And I was doing that. And then other people walking in opposite directions. So you see them on both sides of the oval. See them on this side, and then you walk past, you see them on this side. They tend to have their dogs. So there's this guy. He was walking in the opposite direction to me. He had two big dogs. But it's leash-free. He was walking. He was thinking. I'd said g'day to him a couple of times just for fun. And his dogs are like walking 20 metres behind him. And then one of his dogs, one of his big dogs, needed to do doggy doo-doos in the leash-free park. And you're not supposed to just let your doggy do doo-doos in the leash-free park. But it's behind the guy's back. He doesn't see his dog doing like a half a kilogram of doo-doos. I had my doggy doo-doo bag with me. So this guy walks past me. I'm watching his dog do doo-doos. I'm walking towards the doo-doos. I'm watching some other people about another 50 metres back watching the doggy do doo-doos. And I had this little moment. What am I going to do about the doo-doo? Should I tap him on the shoulder to say, mate, your dog just pooped on the park? And I thought, I hate picking up dog doo. I'm going to pick up his dog's doo. It's like my noble act for the day. So I scoop up his dog's doo. He doesn't even know. He's still walking. But around the other side of the park, I'm passing him again. I'm now carrying a half a kilogram of dog doo. And he's walking towards me. Oh, I tell you what, everything inside of me was going, tell him this is his dog's doo. And the Lord said to me, Dale, my son, I picked up your doggy doo-doo. You don't have to announce that you picked up his doo. Jesus saves us from our sins. There's a past, present, and future aspect of that, and I'm not going to go deep into that, but just stay with me just for a second. When we put our trust in Jesus, everything you've ever said or done or thought, everything that would sully your system, everything that would alienate you from God, everything that would make you less than you're designed to be, Jesus took it all, and he washes us clean. The Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. It says, though your sins are like scarlet, they become as white as snow. God separates us from them as far as the left east is from the west. It's wonderful. Past, clean. And I just ask you, do you live like you are set free? Do you live like you got a clean slate? Or do you live with legacy? Because you don't need to. If you put your trust in Jesus, you don't need to. He saves us today. That is, he gives us strength today not to stumble and fall, and he saves us tomorrow and into the future. I love it from Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, that's saving you today, and to present you, this is your entrance into the eternal realm, and to present you absolutely faultless with exceeding joy. My father went to have surgery. My father passed away on the 1st of January this year. And he had surgery about a month before, and they were uncertain whether he was going to make it through the surgery. Gave me the opportunity to have very sober conversations with him about getting ready to meet God. And on the day when he was going to go into that surgery, I said to him, Dad, when you lay down on that table and they anesthetize you, you will wake up again. You will wake up. You're either going to open your eyes and see hospital staff, or you're going to open your eyes and see the face of God, but you will wake up. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will live even though they die. This promise of eternal life. Oh, unto us a child is born. This God Son, this God Man, God revealing his incredible humility, but a Savior ultimately sent to save us. I guess I need to ask you this day, and all of those of you who are joining us online right now, have you put your faith in him? You might be visiting today. It's Christmas Day. You've come to church to worship God and to honour him. I want to ask you, have you put your faith in him? Because if you never have before, I give you an opportunity to do it right now. So let's collectively bow our heads, shall we? Father in heaven, thank you for your incredible love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, that's you, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because God didn't send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. So Father in heaven, right now, as best we know how, we soften our hearts and we open our hearts to you. You say to us in your word, as many as receive him, you give them the right to be called children of God, even to those who believe in your name. So Father, right now, as best we know how, this Christmas, we receive Jesus. We open our hearts. We say yes to you. We say thank you for your incredible love, your amazing humility, that you would come to us in the form of a baby. We celebrate you, Lord God. And just in this sacred moment, while all heads are bowed, and I'm not going to prolong this, but if today is a day for you where you put your faith in Jesus, and you might be taking new ground in doing this, because God is approaching you right now. He's speaking your name. He's tapping you on the shoulder. He's saying, trust me, come to me. If today is a day for you to step across that line, you will never get a more supportive environment than this. And if you know what I'm talking about, fill this room with your prayers right now. Fill this room with your prayers, maybe for one person. Because today is your day to put your trust in Jesus. And if that's you, on the count of three, I invite you to lift your face and raise your hand and say, today is my day. I take that step and I respond to Jesus. If that's you, you ready? One, two, okay, right now. And I'm going to look around the room. I'm looking for you. Raise your hand high now. Bless you. I see you over there. Raise your hand high. Give it a wave. Say, today is my day. Today I'm putting my trust in Jesus. Over here, God bless you. That is awesome. Throw your hand up high. You say, yeah, this is my day. Right at the back there, both of you, I see you over here. Bless you. Back here, bless you. Yes, bless you right here in the middle. Gentlemen, great. Yes. Yes, right at the back there. God bless you, man. God bless you. The greatest gift is the gift of eternal life. So, Father in heaven, for each one who this day seeks to soften their hearts and open them to you, we join with all of hell, of all of heaven, where it says, all the angels of God celebrate over one sinner who repents. And we do that too right now. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, amen. Amen. How about we celebrate those who responded to God today? God bless you. God bless you.